Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big and blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
The court ruling, the city of Phoenix cannot apply its anti-discrimination ordinance, forcing people to create custom projects that violates their religious beliefs.
All right, so earlier today, Arizona Supreme Court, it protects a business from, I guess, you know, doing something for a same-sex couple. You had a gay couple, okay, and they wanted to hire this place called, I think, Brush and Nib Studio. What they do is they make, like, the pretty wedding invitation invites.
Yeah. Paper wedding invites, that kind of stuff.
And the owners of this place said, we don't want to do that. We don't do that for gay couples. If their reasoning was, if we were to do that for you, we would be celebrating what you're doing, we're not celebrating what you're doing.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense because there is an ordinance that says you can't overtly do that. You can't say, I'm not going to wait on you. I'm not going to give you service. I'm not going to do anything because you're gay or black or Muslim or whatever. So how did they get, how did the Supreme Court reverse that?
You're right. In 2013, the Phoenix City Council passed the Civil Rights Ordinance protecting lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender residents from discrimination.
Yeah. So these two people, these two artists said that this violates their freedom of speech and exercise of religion rights. They believe it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Right. And does that automatically, you know, if that's what you believe, right, does that automatically make you say, we're not going to help you because you're gay?
Yeah, can you just put up a sign now saying, well, no blacks, no Hispanics. If you're gay, we're not going to wait on you. Can you say that now because of the Supreme Court?
Joining us right now, Monica Lindstrom, Mac and Gatos legal expert. Monica, did you hear Mac's question? Could you answer that part of it?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen, and that's not allowed. The court is not saying that now you can simply say, I'm not going to serve you because you don't look a certain way or your sexual orientation is this, and I don't believe in that. That's not what the holding is. The court was very, very clear and specific that its holding in this case was really just about this case. And it all boiled down to the fact that these two owners, what they do is they create custom wedding invitations. So they sit there with the paper and the pen and they hand paint them. They do calligraphy. They design the things. And since it would be for same-sex weddings, that is something that they don't believe in. And so they believe that they don't, since they have so many beliefs here, since they don't believe in it, they should not be forced to have to make these for somebody because it is a deeply held religious belief. And mind you that it is a city of Phoenix law, and if you violate it, the city of Phoenix could push it so far as to send you to jail. So the court pointed out that these two individuals, they would have to face a choice. It's either go to jail or turn around and make invitations that would violate your deeply held religious beliefs. And when you put it in that frame, that makes you kind of step back and go, okay, wait a minute, that's not really fair either. And that's what this court was trying to explain.
So Arizona's constitution trumps the Phoenix ordinance?
Well, it's pretty much. A person's freedom of religion and free speech trumps the public accommodations law. So because these people felt very strongly, their beliefs were very strong and based in religion, and it had to do with custom-made wedding invitations.
What does the custom have to do with it? I don't understand.
Everything.
Really?
Everything.
Just because they make the invitation? I don't get it.
Right. This isn't like I go to the store and I buy a pre-printed invitation, stick it in a printer, and make several copies. These people would actually, they're artists, right? Like a tattoo artist. They create. This is something that comes out of them. And so they're very involved in the process, just like Monet would make a picture. Well, you wouldn't force Monet to make a picture that he didn't believe in or that he didn't want to do. Same thing. You don't force these individuals, these artists, to say something which is designing, drawing, painting that they don't believe in. That is government forcing you to do something that you don't believe in. Right. That's not like taxes, okay? Nobody likes taxes. I get that. Hmm. But you would be forcing them to say something. And this court said by them designing and painting and creating, that is pure speech. And pure speech is protected under our Constitution. It's like the highest form of protection you can get for speech. And when you couple that with religious beliefs, which is another, which is a freedom, right, that we have under the Bill of Rights, then that makes it even stronger. It has nothing to do with the sexual orientation of a customer. It has to do with the fact that they don't want to make wedding invitations for anybody that has to do with the same-sex wedding.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. Big story one today. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled that Phoenix non-discrimination ordinance violates the Arizona Constitution, therefore allows Brush and Nib Studio not to have to make a wedding product for a same-sex couple. Monica, how did we get here? Couldn't they have just said we're too busy? Did they? I mean, how did it come up that unless did they say the owners of this place say, no, we're not going to help you or do your order because you're gay?
That's interesting because these plaintiffs actually saw that this was a problem here with this law. So they actually filed the lawsuit asking the court to stop this law from going into effect essentially against them before any customers even came to them.
Okay.
So there was a huge argument from the city saying, look, they can't even bring this lawsuit because nothing's even happened. We haven't said that they're in violation of anything because nothing's been done.
So does this?
And the court said, you know what? I could see that it could happen, so we're going to decide it now.
So does the city of Phoenix have to change the ordinance or rewrite the ordinance more specifically?
Technically, the court did not require it, and the court narrowed its holding to just really this situation with custom-made things. But I think in reality, the city of Phoenix probably should go back and look at its public accommodations law and figure out how to align it with this decision so that we have a real answer.
Monica Lindstrom joining us, Mac and Gatos legal expert. So Monica, two lower courts ruled in favor of the gay couple. Then the Arizona Supreme Court ruled in favor of the business. So what is this? Just come down to interpretation? How do two lower courts go, you know, one way, and then the Arizona Supreme Court says, nah, I don't believe what those two courts said. I'm on my own. Here it is.
Yeah, I think it comes down to interpretation and the root of the problem in the first place, where the other courts likely found that it was due to a same-sex couple's sexual orientation. The Supreme Court said, no, that's not what this is about, because these owners would not make the custom invitations if I'm a hetero woman. If I went in there and asked them to create the invitations for my friend's same-sex wedding, they still wouldn't do it for me, even though I'm straight. It's because it has to do with a same-sex wedding, which they don't believe in. So the Supreme Court narrowed it down to this has to do with religious beliefs and the government forcing someone to do something that they don't believe in. And that's where the Supreme Court came down, where the other courts really focused on, they believed, and so does the dissent and the opinion, that it's all about the fact that it was same-sex couples that would be hurt. It all had to do with their sexual orientation.
All right, Monica Lindstrom, Mac and Gatos legal expert. Thanks, Monica.
Bye, guys.
It's interesting that they were not accused of anything. They took it on saying, we're going to challenge this because we haven't been accused. And the Supreme Court of Arizona said, yeah, we're going to side with the Constitution on this.
I don't like these cases. I never have. Remember we talked about the cake that somebody
Colorado
didn't want to make for a gay couple. And they say it's because of what I see in the Bible. I'm Christian. Let me just say this. I am a Christian. Okay. And I know what the Bible says about marriage. It's between a man and a woman. But if you're this couple, if you're this business owner, are you not going to make something for every person that might sin or
no, just same
go
sex.
Do something different?
Just same sex, it comes down to. Because you can't, and Monica said, it's not about, well, I'm not going to help you because you're black, or I'm not going to take an order from a Hispanic or a minority. It is their freedom of religion that they don't believe in same-sex marriage. It's not across the board. Well, I don't believe in women's rights, so I'm not going to wait on a woman.
Are going to go in there who are, you know, have beaten their wife, and they're not going to ask about it.
Right.
They're going to make them the invitation.
Right, because they don't know anything about that. They wouldn't know about that indiscretion.
I don't think they're good examples of Christians. I really don't. I think that it would be better if the business owners sat down with them, and you know, they have some sort of conversation. And they're not going to agree at the end of the day, but it doesn't mean that you have to look at people and say, I'm not going to provide a service for you. I don't think you're celebrating gay marriage if you're this business. You're not celebrating it. I get it. You're not for it. I totally understand it.
But that doesn't also mean that they need to do something that they don't believe in either. So that's why they preemptively did this lawsuit, so it wouldn't come up.
All right, you're listening to the Big Four at Four. Four big blockbuster stories coming up. Big story two, because of what happened in Saudi Arabia. Will you be paying $5 a gallon for gas in the next few weeks? That's in a second.
The Big Four at Four. Big story two.
We have a lot of options, but I'm not looking at options right now. We want to find definitively who did this.
All right, so President Trump wants to know what happened in Saudi Arabia over the weekend. There was attack on Saudi Arabia's oil facilities. And, you know, they've got a ton of oil. And, of course, it kind of put a stop to 5.7 million barrels a day.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. So is it going to affect our gas prices here in Arizona? Jim Cross?
Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says he expects a 10 to 20 cent hike in the next couple of weeks for Arizona drivers.
Could get worse. You know, if Saudi Arabia doesn't quickly restore that output, we could get, you know, even higher than that impact.
And Arizona's highest statewide average pump price of the year was at $3.19. DeHaan doesn't believe we will reach that mark again.
It's a good reminder that things that happen around the world always affect America. You know, we could you have what happened in Saudi Arabia with the oil fields and a drone, maybe from Iran, going over there and blowing some stuff up. It could go to, you know, Japan's economy goes down the tube. What happens in America? Well, then our economy usually would follow. It's kind of the way things work. So you don't think it all these, you know, thousands of miles across the globe, it would affect us, but it does.
Don't panic.
I don't think there's panic
yet.
Time.
Yeah. It's not going to be $5. It's not going to be $4. And the good news is that, surprisingly, we don't get the majority of our oil from Saudi Arabia anymore.
5%. I think comes
it's
from,
more. It's more
5% of the world's total daily crude. Oil
it's Mexico comes from. That's where our crude is coming from for the majority. So that's a good sign. But does it have impact? Yes. Are you going to have to ditch your gas guzzler and get a Nissan Leaf or a Prius or something? No, not yet. But the president has to figure out, how do I handle this? Do I drag us into another war? Do I hit Iran, or do I just sit back and go, Saudi Arabia, you're on your own?
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We bring you four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at Four. Big story three.
Less than a week after he was hired as a cast member on Saturday Night Live, Shane Gillis has been fired. This comes after comments of his in podcasts and elsewhere had resurfaced in which he used racial slurs and stereotypical accents.
Okay, I'll be the first to say I have no idea who Shane Gillis is. I do know that he was hired by Saturday Night Live. And I guess what happens when anybody gets hired or what have you, someone is going to dig into their Twitter or their YouTube,
right,
and they're going to find something. And I guess they found a racial slur.
Yeah, they found evidence that he used stereotypical accents and stuff. Look, you can't be a comedian anymore. Major comedians have said they have stopped touring. I know Jerry Seinfeld said he cannot go on college campuses. We are just way too sensitive, and there is now added to the sensitivity, there is the gotcha effect. This guy said, what this guy was doing was part of an act, part of, quote unquote, being funny, if you believe that or not. Was he head of the KKK? No. Was he head of the white supremacy or the white Aryan nation? No. Especially as a white guy, you can't do anything now unless you're joking about another white male.
Yeah. I didn't see the video that surfaced, I guess, from 2018, but he used a racial slur against Asians.
And they hired their first Asian cast member, Saturday Night Live did, in this same group of people. So they're picking, they're defending the Asian cast member by saying, you, sir, you
Got
white
it.
Guy, sit down.
Got it. You're listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Four.
At the height of the most recent measles epidemic, the worst in more than a quarter century, more than 70 new cases were being reported each week. But that number began trailing off toward the end of summer, and in the past week, the CDC recorded no new cases at all. The official marker is going 42 days without any new cases.
How about that? No new measles cases. It suggests the spread of the disease is slowing, and hopefully that means people who weren't for vaccines are now for vaccines.
Boy, a year ago, we were talking about how much more are we going to have to deal with this? How many more cases? Yep. Was it going to be a pandemic? So this is good news.
Well, and also, there are doctors out there, and there's some Valley doctors that say to parents, oh, okay, you don't believe in vaccinations. You don't want to get your kid vaccinated. Bye-bye.
Right. I cannot treat you.
I'm not going to see you.
Right.
And a lot of doctors are doing that. Good for them. That's it for the Big 4 at 4.
The Big 4 at 4 with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big 4 at 4 delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up next, could Brett Kavanaugh be on the way out of the Supreme Court?
He just got there.
Oh, my goodness. Another allegation of sexual impropriety? Or is this all about nothing? Coming up.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos. Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Well, I think we got to figure out, is there something to this, or is this all about nothing? Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, I think we all know him. We all remember exactly.
I was going to say, this sounds familiar.
Sure does. Another allegation.
Yeah.
Of sexual impropriety.
Hmm.
But listen carefully, because, you know, it's important. This is someone who is going to, you know, these Supreme Court justices stay there forever.
For the next 40 years, perhaps.
You can't vote people out like you could vote Trump out, or you could vote Nancy Pelosi out, mm-hmm. or what have you.
Brett Kavanaugh facing a new allegation of inappropriate sexual behavior as a college student, as several defenders tonight race to his side. The allegation, first reported by the New York Times and set to appear in a new book about the embattled justice, describes Kavanaugh exposing himself at a party while he was a student at Yale.
Okay.
All right, so there's a book coming out. So what's the new allegations, right?
And it's the New York Times, and I know people are going to take this with a grain of salt, because if you're a conservative,
right,
you know what the New York Times is all about. Okay, so this is actually about the second woman that came out with an allegation against Kavanaugh over a year ago. So it's not a new story.
Oh, so it's not a new woman who has come forward.
No. Now, the New York Times did not initially include in their article, well, we didn't talk to the woman. All right. Well, what did she have to say? She doesn't remember the incident. Well, what are her friends saying? Her friends say she doesn't recall it. So where's the story?
All right. So the New York Times has come out with two reporters who said that they interviewed seven people who heard about the incident that the woman can't recall.
Did they see it?
No. Were they at the party? Doesn't seem like it. But they heard about the incident that happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Boy, that's weak sauce, man. That is, I mean, the New York Times, you expect a little bit more than... This is gossip. This is total hearsay. Now, if Brett Kavanaugh's a bad guy, okay, let's deal with that. Let's talk about that. But I'm not going to go on seven other people who heard the story about X, Y, and Z. I'm not going with that. That's
okay.
Ridiculous.
So, you know, he basically, will be really nice here, allegedly, he forced his, you know,
crotch
into... The direction of a woman.
Of a woman,
okay,
who says she doesn't remember.
Yeah.
So, but we know the story.
Here's the thing. I don't know if it happened. Maybe it did. You know, sometimes rumors are, there's a reason for a rumor. Sometimes
right.
Sometimes it's true. But you've got to, if you're the New York Times, you can't put this out unless you have some sort of proof. And that's being a journalist. Now, Mac and I are not journalists. We've never been journalists. We don't want to be journalists. This is bad journalism. I mean, it just is.
Well, it's your buddies. It's your buddies saying, remember that girl in college? Well, I heard.
Yeah.
I mean,
you heard.
Give me some proof. Give me some facts. If this is all the Democrats have, in order to get the White House.
Whoa,
this just, No?
Whoa. Now, why would you bring the Democrats into this?
Well, because we know
this is the New York Times.
Right. And
I know.
Yeah, right. But yeah, grain of salt.
It's a newspaper, so why bring in the Democrats?
Because it just seems like more and more of the media just does a hit job.
Oh, I was going a different way.
On Donald Trump and the administration, so why not go beat the dead horse that is Brett Kavanaugh?
Democrats who are running for president want to see Brett Kavanaugh impeached because
right.
of this.
Right. So why not bring that up?
Bring up the new information. There's not a lot of info. And I'll say this every time a story like this comes up. I'll take the female side every time. I will.
Until there is enough evidence to the contrary, right?
This woman doesn't remember it.
And won't talk to anybody about it.
So how do you go on hearsay? It may have happened.
Yeah.
But maybe it didn't. I don't know.
Still, you cannot run with this.
I think the pathetic thing is very clear with how the New York Times handled it. But I'll tell you what might be even a little more pathetic is that the Democrats, I mean, all they want to do is impeach Trump. All they want to do is impeach Kavanaugh. And what I would advise the Democrats to do is go win an election. Don't impeach Trump. You know what? You're not going to do it anyway. And there's really no 100% reason that he should be impeached. You can't impeach somebody because you hate the guy. You can't impeach somebody because you think he's morally bankrupt.
Right. But you know what's at play here is he's already appointed two chief justices that Trump has.
And he's allowed to.
And he might have the opportunity to appoint another one. That'd be three.
And if that's the way it goes, that's the way
it goes. But some people don't want to accept that. So they will do anything they can to denigrate or besmirch or some kind of take down either Trump or take down Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh's not going anywhere until somebody, and you know what? We might see this. Somebody might emerge that has a credible story from years ago that has more evidence, but it's got to be more than this. Come on.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, a California woman dreamed that she ate her engagement ring. And then she woke up to discover, I ate my engagement ring.
Oh, come on.
She ate it.
Ah.
So we want to open up the phones at 277-5827. What's the oddest thing you've ever done in your sleep?
Doesn't have to be eating necessarily.
No, it could be
but
anything. Mm-hmm. Strange, weird. What is the weirdest, oddest thing you've ever done in your sleep? 602-277-5827. Your calls are next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos. Drive home informed and entertained. Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos on KTAR News 92.3 FM.
You ever do anything weird while you're sleeping? Something odd? The only thing I can come up with is if I kick somebody in a dream, because you know me and karate, I'm an expert.
Yeah, that's it.
I might accidentally kick my wife.
Maybe.
It happened once.
And push her through the wall because of your skills.
It grazed. So that was good.
Oh, that is good.
That's all that happened.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that I have. But there's a California woman who had a dream. This is the most weird, bizarre thing I've ever
heard. I've never heard of it.
I had to wake Bobby up and I said, you know, I did something really stupid last night.
Yeah, that's a phrase no fiance wants to hear, but this story not about infidelity or lying. This is about losing an engagement ring.
Jenna Evans can't help but blush when she talks about her fiance, Bobby.
We've been together for 5.5 years.
Yeah,
Quite a long time to get the ring of her dreams
from
the man of her dreams.
So she has the ring of her dreams.
Yeah, but what's she waiting around for? Come on, Bobby.
But Tuesday night, this 3-stone band of love ended up in a dark place.
I was having a dream that we were on a cargo train and it was a dangerous situation. And Bobby told me,
Bobby,
you know, you have to swallow your ring.
Her 007 dream world became a real life emergency.
When I woke up and it was not on my hand, I knew exactly where it was.
She swallowed it.
She swallowed it during the dream?
Where was it?
It was in my stomach.
The couple felt panic.
Yeah, I bet.
I wouldn't. I'd feel like a sharp pain in my stomach.
I have never heard something so crazy.
So did Bobby have to follow her around like you would a dog waiting for it to pass?
You know what? I don't know. We'll get to the other half of that story. We'll find out. But we wanted you to call 277-5827. What's the oddest thing you ever did in your sleep? Who's
all
first?
Right. Bill, you are first. You're in surprise. What did you do in your sleep, Bill?
Well, it's about 30 years ago, and my son and his friends were over at our house for Halloween party type thing, and we're watching all these movies, all right? Eddie sits her hands, da-da-da-da-da, until about 3 in the morning. So they want to stay up and watch some more. So my wife and I go to bed. I shut the door. I'm sleeping. All of a sudden, I'm dreaming somebody's trying to come in and get us, okay? Oh. So I jumped out of bed and punched a hole in the bedroom door.
Oh, jeez.
You did?
Oh.
Yeah. So my wife tried to have me committed, and I told her, no, it was just a dream.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
So did you have to replace it?
Yes.
It was that bad. You punched a hole through the whole door.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one.
Jeez, man.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a little kid, I used to run in my sleep.
Right. You had night terrors.
I had night terrors from the Joker on the campy Batman show that I used to watch.
The original, like 1966.
Yeah, and it always freaked me out. And I didn't know, I remember my parents waking me up, and all of a sudden I'm in the living room.
Right. Screaming.
Yeah. Here's a little more of the story.
Hilarity. Then a little bit.
Well, this is more of the story about the woman who
swallowed
her engagement ring.
At 8 a.m., they rushed into urgent care and explained her bizarre situation.
I wish I could have seen their faces.
The x-ray confirmed her story.
This is awesome.
It's very clear. There's no looking for it. It's just right there.
It's amazing. It's amazing just to swallow something like that. It's unbelievable.
I didn't think you could. I would think that you would wake up and realize that you're swallowing something you're not supposed to. I mean, it's a ring. It's a metal object.
Right.
Her gastroenterologist suggested an emergency endoscopy.
I was really happy because I don't know if I'd ever be able to look at it and appreciate it in the same way if I had had to search for it.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, I know what that means.
So she could have passed it.
Yeah, right.
And she didn't.
Decided not to. She got the emergency endoscopy, and I guess they took along something.
I think you have to.
You got
to
pull it out the front way.
You don't want to
go out
back
the back
way.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with that.
All right. Nancy, you're in Gilbert. What did you do in your dream that you actually did in real life, Nancy?
Well, I was a little kid, and when I was younger, I was really active in sleep. And so my mom and dad have one of those chairs that have the chair cushion that has the ties in the back and it can be removed. So I come out from my bedroom one night and they're watching TV and I start to pull up my nightgown and I'm turning around and I'm lifting that chair pad and I start to sit down there. No, no, it's not a toilet.
Oh, yeah.
True story.
Did you go to the toilet? Did you?
I did. They caught me.
Did you wake up though? Did you realize?
Yeah, they woke me up, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's always what I've heard, too, is that if somebody's having like a night terror like you as a kid.
You're not supposed to wake them up.
That's what I've heard. You're not supposed to, but
you know
what
I learned
else do
that?
You do?
You know where I learned you're not supposed to wake you up? Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
He taught you that. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something credible like the show
no.
House or
no,
Grey's
no.
Anatomy.
No, no, no. Oh, yeah, that'd be
yeah,
a lot
right,
more credible.
Right.
No, I remember some kind of cartoon. Don't wake up the sleepwalker. Maybe it was the Brady Bunch.
It wasn't Bugs Bunny. I think it was the other BB, Brady Bunch.
May have been.
Yeah. Because Bugs Bunny would have woken up Elmer Fudd if he was sleepwalking. Let's be real.
He would have shot him with his own gun.
No, that's Elmer Fudd has the gun. Bugs never had a gun. Come on, man. Jeez. 5 o'clock KTAR News Expansion is coming up. 15 whole minutes of commercial-free, nonstop news, traffic, and weather next.